Good morning, podcasting morning chat. Today is Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. And today we're going to be discussing to niche or not to niche. I'll explain momentarily. In the meantime, if you don't mind, hit the share button, bottom left-hand side of the screen if you're listening live on Clubhouse. And if you are listening via podcast, please share this with a fellow podcaster. And then give us about 2 minutes and we'll get things rolling. Thanks for being here. Good morning again, podcasting morning chat. Thanks for being here. Looking forward to another awesome conversation this morning. I've been really enjoying the conversations we've been having. I don't know, maybe the fact that ever since we took this live show and turned it into a podcast as well, I feel like we've all leveled up our game. We've had some really interesting topics, and I think today is going to be another one. I want to break down the idea of niching or not, because that's something that I know I've heard a lot over the years by fellow podcasters, podcast professionals, et cetera, that you got to do a niche if you want to have a successful podcast. So we'll define what that means. Right? Because it could mean different things to different people, to niche. And then we'll debate it. We'll break it down. We'll see, could more of us start getting away with doing a more broad appeal format? So that's what we will get into today. And we'll kick it off with an icebreaker question. And I paused because I'm thinking, you know, yesterday when we wrapped up the room, I just remembered I had said I wanted to hit one more question, or I had a question about the whole topic that we did, which is really about authenticity versus strategy. And I'm trying to debate because I know it can feel out of left field, but that's okay. I said I wanted to hit it at the end yesterday, so I will quickly pose this question. And then we'll get to the icebreaker. So, you know, we talked about kind of different variations of when we're being authentic. For example, we talked about, the whole thing was sparked by Jackie's question in our Facebook group about changing wardrobe if you're recording multiple episodes in the same day, and particularly, maybe not so obvious, but I'll say obviously, you're doing it with video. And One of the things I had, I'll be somewhat transparent here, and you'll hopefully understand why I say it like that. I've thought about this often. There are people in the podcast industry that, I'm using myself as an example, by the way. There are people in the industry that I will say, I'm trying to come up with a nice way of putting it, that I'm not fond of, and that I believe may not be all that they seem, or they're not really in it to help other podcasters. They're really more in it just to make money. Whatever my reasons are, some assumptions, some probably, some definitely not. And those names of those people sometimes get thrown around in our 2+ years of doing this. And I choose to not say anything poorly about those people, even though I feel like some people in our community may put a lot of value into those people. So I debate, am I being authentic by not saying anything? Maybe I won't, you know, maybe, and I'm going to over exaggerate a bit, right? But maybe I want to warn somebody, like, ooh, you may want to think about it before you just follow that person blindly, right? So my question is, is it going to hurt my reputation in the industry if I were to say something like that publicly? And should I just bite my tongue and not say anything? And I'm really not looking to change anything about how I've done things so far. I am bringing this up because I said I had that as a question yesterday, and I'm curious because I think this could apply to other people in other industries. I saw Dominic had his hand up first, and then we'll go to Sid. Dominic, good morning to you. What did you want to say about my question?
Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody is well on this Tuesday morning. Authentic or not authentic? I don't know. It's a good question. What I will say is I think you let people, you put the information out there and you let people do what they do, right? Like maybe I think, you know, and we've had these conversations one-on-one, right?
Yep.
I think you can be authentic in the sense of maybe having that one-on-one conversation with that person and maybe not do it in a public forum. Right. But what I will say in a public forum, and I try to do this in here often, is to say, whether it's me, whether it's Mark or Sid or Nick or whoever, is to take anything you hear from us with somewhat of a grain of salt. Right. And make sure that it fits for what you're doing. And, you know, and listen, sometimes we're going to be wrong. Right. But I think if you do it like that, Mark, I think you're being authentic because it's not just like you pointing the finger at somebody else. You're also letting people know that, listen, we are, you know, we're not perfect either. Right.
Yeah.
And that we're all, but that we are also trying to authentically help. And listen, you're going to come across people, especially in this industry we call podcasting, that let's be honest, they're going to sell some snake oil here and there. We've all come across them.
Yeah.
Some of us have been bitten by them. Right. But I think it's important to, as much as you can, do your due diligence. If you're listening, you know, in the audience or you listen to the replay on this podcast, do your due diligence. And if you have built a relationship with somebody you trust, ask them what they think. And hopefully you built a relationship with them that they're going to be honest with you. But back to the original question, because I just went on a whole tangent. Is it authentic? I think it is, because I think it's just a situation where, you know, well, I'm sorry. It's authentic if you do it one-on-one, you know, right? And I think you should just leave it at that.
That's fair. And Dominic, definitely that question that I asked, thank you. And that question that I asked I'll just say it was a little bit inspired by a conversation we had recently via text. I'll leave it there. Sid, good morning. Did you want to add something to or answer my question? Or is it being authentic if I am biting my tongue about, say, a person or a product in the industry that I don't agree with? Is that fair, or should I be speaking up and be more, quote unquote, authentic?
Good morning, everybody. This is a really interesting question, and sorry I had to leave the room yesterday before the end of it. So I'm going to actually say that as people, we have to walk our own path. We have to make our own decisions, and we have to learn and grow from the decisions that we make. If you are asked specifically, Mark, about a person, or someone says, hey, do you know Nick? What do you think about Nick's program? Then I feel like you should be honest and share your opinion about Nick and Nick's program and what you think about it and why you feel that way. Do I think you should do it publicly? No, I don't think you should do it publicly. I think it should be private, because everybody has different opinions of people, and we can make our own, in my opinion, we should make our own choices about who we follow and why we follow them. And, but if you're asked, I think you should share. I don't think you should share voluntarily. Now, that's about a person. If it's about a product, then that, to me, that's free game. If it's about a microphone and there's something about the microphone that you like or don't like, then absolutely, I think you should share it publicly. But if it's about a person, I think it should be done in private.
All right. We have two votes for do it in private, and that means you are keeping it real. And by the way, Sid was right. It's Nick. And I really can't stand Nick.
I was going to say, Mark, what do you say about my program?
Did you want to add anything, Nick? I saw you had your hand up.
Yeah. I know we've had conversations about some of this stuff. And as you were explaining it, I kind of got to thinking a little bit in a way that I haven't thought about this previously. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with challenging the status quo, so to speak, or certain teachings. I feel like a lot of podcast gurus will preach a lot of the same stuff, and you'll hear it and you'll be like, don't really agree with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with challenging the ideas and thoughts. But from like someone who is maybe being coached or being trained by someone, unless you really know where that specific person is in their journey, you don't really know what that guru, quote unquote, what kind of effect they're having on that person. Like, I'm just thinking, like, someone who is brand new, terrified of getting started into this thing, they just need a support system. And what that person is saying, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, might not make a huge difference, because that person just needed the push to get in the door. And then now they're able to start making their own decisions and make their own judgments on what's best for their own podcast. So on one hand, like, I totally get the, I don't agree with the what and the how, but if it is truly helping someone, I almost feel like you can't take that away from them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really fair and valid point. Thank you, Nick. Yeah. I mean, that's just it, right? It's if I have a problem with somebody, and maybe it's very valid and legitimate, but the bottom line is, if that somebody has helped another person with that advice, who am I to say anything, especially publicly? All right, we have other people on stage that I believe sparked this, they're up here because of this conversation. I will go down the line, and then we're going to shift gears. So, Billy, I'm going to start with you. Good morning. Welcome to the stage. What did you want to add?
Hey, what's up, Mark? Good morning. Well, I think between Nick and Sid, they kind of hit it, because I was thinking that same thing. I was like, depends on the weight of the thing, you know. I mean, there's some tools going around right now for Amazon influencers that I totally don't agree with, because it's going to put people's business at risk. And so I don't care who posts it, friends, family, I'm posting against it. I'm commenting on all of them everywhere I see, because I realize this is detrimental to the industry. And even though these tools are putting out some really, and I have a call with, you know, one of these tools tomorrow, and they're putting out some really cool stuff, but it's just, it's against terms of service. So it's going to hurt people's business. So I'm like anti, you know, right now I'm just like going and saying, hey, I'm going to protect the people in my industry as much as I can. And it really doesn't matter who's promoting it. If it's not going to work, it's not going to work. And so I think that's one of the things that I kind of like the contrast and the controversy, just to speak out, because if that's truly how you feel, if you're that passionate about it that you're holding your tongue, and you know, now if it's because the guy walked past you at PodFest and didn't look at you or shake your hand and you're offended at him, much different. But if he's like, you know, really being an asshole, and we've all met those people and those gurus, mm-hmm. and probably have been those at times, then I really think it's important for us to go, okay, if we're going to really protect our community, if you're really going to be a leader in the podcast industry, sometimes that takes some, you know, getting in people's faces and kicking dirt and going, hey, hold on a second, this isn't right. So I'm probably more of a controversial person in general, and I don't care to speak up and speak my mind. So it's a little bit of my personality as well. But I'm very calculated, especially publicly, to a person. But I'm with Sid. If it's a product and I'm like, this is stupid, like, I'm just going to say it's stupid. And I might be wrong, and there's probably a chance I will be. But at that very moment, I'm going to speak out, you know, until I'm wrong. Until I feel like I'm changing my mind.
Yeah, thank you, Billy. Yeah, I think you're right, and at least it resonates with me, that it also depends on the severity of the situation. If it's something that's going to really hurt, or someone that I believe is really going to hurt the industry, I think it's important to speak up. So yeah, thank you, Billy. And Amanda, I am coming to you because I have skipped you over the past 2 weeks. I think I've skipped you twice now. And I know I reached out to you already yesterday about that. And please forgive me publicly for doing that. Totally an accident. Just the conversation got away from me. And I see also here you have the little red balloon, which means it's your Clubhouse anniversary. So happy anniversary there. Do you want to add anything to this part of the conversation, Amanda? Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for not skipping me today. No. I appreciate that. And like I said, you know, I take it with a grain of salt. I'm fully authentic in who I am, and knowing that sometimes we're not for everybody, and not saying that I'm not meant for you, but you know, that's what I expressed to you. And I totally wholeheartedly understand that. And I think when it comes to authenticity and what I'm hearing in this conversation, it almost seems like, are we trying to compare ourselves to something? Because to me, authenticity is whatever you do. Whatever you do is authentic to you. If you choose not to show up on a public forum and speak your mind about something publicly, then that's authentic to you. Whereas, you know, the next person down the line may have something to say. That's authentic to them. You know, so it's really stepping in. I think what it boils down to is, are you in integrity with your morals? You know, are you in integrity with your core values? And I think that's what, you know, when speaking on something, especially in a public forum, that's something that you want to keep in mind. But I don't think that there should be a problem with you speaking your truth on something, you know, on a matter, whether it's a person. I actually said something this last episode I just recorded about Jimmy Kimmel in the Oscars. And I mean, listen, if there are celebrities out there listening to my podcast, please let me know. But, you know, maybe eventually one day there will be, and will I receive backlash for that? Maybe I will. You know, again, it boils down to knowing that you're not for everybody, but if you're in integrity with your core values and your morals, I don't see a problem with it.
Yeah, thank you. I really like what you said, especially around the idea that it depends on your values. And are you being true to that? I think that's a great way to gauge for yourself when you're asking yourself that question. Is it authentic that I'm saying something, or is it authentic that I'm not saying something? Does it align with my core values? And whatever answer you come up with from if it aligns or not, I think you know where to go from there. All right, Soda, did you want to chime in at all? Good morning.
Good morning. I basically wanted to say what Amanda said, and also I guess for me, like, I've been in that situation a couple times before, and I really tried to focus on I would try to avoid the person's name if possible, but it would usually be very obvious. But I would try to focus on the problematic things that was going on rather than it sounding like I was attacking the person themselves, more about like some of the issues, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. Yes. Thank you. All right. And I know we have more people up here. We have a new person on stage, a new person on our stage. And so I'm going to give Faye the final word on this part of the conversation so we can actually hit the topic I intended to discuss today, too niche or not too niche. So first, we will go to Faye, and it's Dr. Faye. So I don't know if it's D.R. So which one is it? Is it doctor?
Everyone calls me DR.
Okay.
When I was a redhead, I used to tell people it stood for damn redhead. now that I've gone purple, that doesn't apply anymore. So I think that there's a lot of variables in this. One variable is how well do you know the person that you're giving this information to? Another variable is, and this kind of piggybacks on that, maybe you don't know the person and they're connected in some weird way to, you know, Joe Schmo, who you think is a total fraud. And, you know, Joe Schmo happens to be their brother-in-law. So you have to, semantics are really, really important. And I think that the meaning could get lost if you do it in text form versus like a voice message. If you do it in a voice message, they can hear your empathy and they can hear everything in your voice rather than a text when they're reading it with their own inflections, their own meaning. So that's
it. Yeah, thank you. And thanks for coming up on the stage. I feel like this is the first time I've seen you in this room.
It is. I got hooked on it when you released it as a podcast. And then I decided, well, that's right around the time that I wake up and get my husband off to work. So I tune in and, I'm a podcast producer. I don't have a podcast of my own. I've been thinking about it, but I've produced about 3 different shows and I'm loving the content. So I appreciate that you're there in the morning for me.
Well, you're welcome. And thank you for being a part of our conversation. The more the merrier. And interesting. So have you ever had a podcast before? Your own?
I did one called Boomer's Side Hustle Lounge that I interviewed a bunch of really interesting side hustles, like the Robin Williams lookalike or a professional cuddler or, you know, all really weird kind of side hustles. And I decided I did like 20 episodes and I decided I'd not to publish them. But I'm thinking of a different kind of format now, and my clients range in businesses, so that's always good, and that kind of goes to your niching kind of question later on today.
I'm
a niche producer.
Awesome. Well, welcome, and yeah, hope you'll keep joining us. You are welcome in this house anytime, and just a reminder also, you can catch up a bit. We started publishing this as a podcast as well. The Podcasting Morning Chat is now available via podcast on all podcast platforms. So you're welcome to catch up a bit if you'd like. and we're going to keep it moving. I think, oh, wait, I'm sorry. Were you saying something?
I posted something on the Facebook and you answered me about advertising.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Players. That's me. That's me in my long form. Diane Rommel is what DR stands for.
Got it. Awesome. Well, thank you for being a part of the community even before joining us here. Welcome. You're welcome. Okay, so here's what I want to do. I want to get to the topic at hand, to niche or not to niche. I was going to do a break around now and do podcast trivia, but the fact that we haven't gotten yet to the official topic, I want to start there. And as I said when we opened the show, you know, I wanted to hit this because this is some of the things that we've been doing lately, rethinking the podcast norms. And this is definitely a topic that has been debated over my almost 20 years doing this, at least the second half of that career. Because I think in the first, say, 10 years that I'd been doing this, especially the first five, I think no one was really sure what to do with their podcast, just as far as how to make it successful and how to strategize to make other podcasts successful. And I think as it grew, as the popularity of podcasting grew, niching became a real thing because there were lots, and still are, lots of podcasts that keep that were popping up and keep popping up. And people started recognizing, well, if we really niche it down to a specific topic or to a specific audience or both, that has shown that people flock to it. You build an audience that way because you're speaking very specifically on a specific topic that they're interested in, and you're not straying from it to turn them off, for lack of a better term. But I do think there are lots of people out there that really don't enjoy niching down and don't and feel like they're pigeonholing themselves. So I want to see, you know, is this something that is just podcast destiny that we in most cases have to niche down? So we'll break this down. We'll talk about some different podcasts that are doing it, whether it's niching or they're doing that broad topic podcasting. We'll use examples. We'll see what's working, what's not. And I want to hear from you too. So I'm going to start and I'm going to open this question to the room. We're not going to go down one by one since we've kind of already done that this morning. So my question is, first, just thinking about our own podcasts. Think back to the last podcast episode, either that you published, or maybe it's one you listened to. Maybe it's not yours. Think about that last podcast episode and how it really resonated with you. Was it highly specialized? Was it a niche type of podcast, or did it cover a broader range of topics? And what about it spoke to you? Does anyone want to share? Go ahead, Jackie. Good morning.
Good morning. I think I'm a nicher, if that's a word. I just made it a word. Because the last podcast I listened to, actually, I'm a big liar, was Smartless, which isn't really niching.
Agreed.
I guess.
Agreed.
But then before that, though, it was, like I said, Birth Queens, because I was having a baby, and that's a doula and a midwife. Don't even know if they're still active. And then it was Serial that I went through. And then there was another murder one, My Favorite Murder. So I guess those are all niches. I don't even know. Am I a niche?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, yeah, Smartless, I would definitely say, would be more of broad because they're just talking to celebrities about whatever those celebrities, whatever's going on in their life or has gone on in their lives. So yeah, and the others that you're definitely Serial, I would consider that more niche because it's it's true crime. So it's very specific. And it's, but the audience isn't necessarily niche, right? It could be a very diverse group. So, and that's the thing. It's like, I think that maybe it's important for us to define really what do we consider niche? I mean, yeah, what do we consider niche? So feel free to answer that question as well, everybody. Yeah, but Jackie, I'd say it sounds like you listen to more niche style podcasts.
Yeah, for sure. And as far as mine, like, I mean, I guess you can look generalized parenting. So I don't know if that's a niche or not. Maybe the way I do it is makes it niche because it's not all bright and sunny like a lot of the other podcasts. I don't know if that makes me a niche. But then my other one is going to be on spirituality, which, I mean, throw a rock and there's probably 100 spirituality podcasts that you're going to make or going to see. So, you know, do I think another question is like, would your style of podcasting kind of make it a niche, right? Mm. Because it could be like a subject that is very broad, but the way you talk about it could make it kind of niche. Does that make sense?
Yep, absolutely does. Yeah, thank you, Jackie. And I want to go to, I saw several hands have popped up and I realize we haven't said hello to Cynthia yet this morning and she had her hand up. So I want to skip everyone else and come to you, Cynthia. Good morning. Did you want to answer this question or add anything? Go for it.
I think I want to add, good morning, Mark. Good morning, room. I'm from the evening, Friday evening podcast, podcasting chat here on. I haven't had enough coffee. I'm so sorry. I'm stumbling over my words. I have, my podcast is about writing and I have changed it from going from writer to published author. I've changed it into what is actually all things an author has to go through, whether it is finding an illustrator, a graphic artist, an editor. So while I have a niche about writing and becoming a published author, I have broadened it at this point in time because I'm including all aspects of the writing genre itself. So are you talking about niching down really tight like I used to be or broadening like I feel I have become? So there's that to think about too. And I release the mic.
Yeah. Thank you, Cynthia. How are you feeling about the idea of broadening your podcast and not being so niche? Are you excited about it? Or are you nervous about it?
Well, at first I was very nervous about it, but now I'm excited. I'm excited because I get to talk to the illustrators that I would never have interviewed before. The graphic artists like Soda, they're welcome on the show. And I get to hear their trials and tribulations on what it's like working with us as authors, because we're both artists, so we both have, you know, uniquely inept ways of working with each other. And so it's opening up communications between all the aspects. And hopefully people will learn how to work better with each other when it comes to the craft that they offer. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, it does. And I think it's important that the host of the show is feeling excited and appreciative of the of that direction and the fact that, you know, now Cynthia gets to interview more people she may never have if she stuck to that niche. And I want to believe that her audience is going to be excited about it too. If they have been on this journey with Cynthia and she's broadening the content and the subject matter, and she's interviewing people that are still some, you know, they're still connected to the space she's in, I think that the audience would appreciate that. Okay, I'm going to go to Sid, Nick, and then Billy, and then I'm going to go to Amanda. Don't let me forget Amanda, please. Okay, so with that, let's go to Sid. Sid, what did you want to add?
Good morning, everybody. Cynthia, your podcast has evolved to be a little bit like mine. My podcast is about office furniture. That is a niche in and of itself. But I could go deeper if I wanted to. I could say that my podcast is for salespeople in the office furniture arena. I have a friend, Alexandra, who has a podcast in the office furniture industry, but she niched way down to talk to the office furniture dealer designer. So one person or one job role inside of a dealership, and she shares content specifically for them. So I think there's lots of opportunities, but still being in a niche that you can support a community, a group of people. I mean, I know that 90% of the people that listen to my podcast are in the office furniture industry, but I also have done a little bit of a pivot where my interviews are definitely with people within the industry or who have something to share that will help the industry, like Nick and Mark coming on talking about the evolution of AI and AI in business. That is helpful to our industry, even though they're not in the industry. My 10-minute episodes that I've started to do are more professional development related that are still targeted to the people that listen, but it's not necessarily a niche specifically about office furniture, though I do draw some parallels when I talk about those specific types of professional development things that hopefully people will resonate with them, right? But I think that if I think about what I've been listening to, I've been listening to a lot of real estate investing related shows, and that's a niche, but I'm listening to other things that are within that niche that even drill down as I educate myself about this topic. So I've listened to shows about midterm rentals and long-term rentals. I've listened to shows about Airbnb. I've listened to shows that are specifically about investing. So I think there's a lot of different options. I think Jonathan said it in the chat that, you know, niching a podcast is great and there are a lot of benefits to it, but you can niche down in unique ways. And I think that that really is what should be important to you is how do you want to niche your show? Who do you want to reach? And what works best for you? And adding to that, what are you really passionate
about? Thank you. Yeah. Great examples too. And so I'll ask you, Sid, and then I'll move on to the next person. Sid, so do you believe, and maybe this is a bit leading based on your answer, but do you believe that a business, let's say I'm starting a podcast for my business, okay, and it's not podcasting, let's just say it's shoe sales, okay? I want to start a podcast, and initially I'm thinking I want to just do a podcast all about shoes. And then I'm feeling like, you know what? I don't know that I could do this week in, week out about specifically about shoes and men's shoes, we'll say. So instead, I just want to do something on men's fashion. So is that, do you feel like that's okay? Or do you think, as again, from the business perspective, you know, if I'm not talking specifically about the thing I sell, is that a problem for business?
Oh, this is a really great question. And I would actually say, I would encourage you, if you're a business owner and you want to create a podcast, which I think all businesses should have podcasts, by the way, but the last thing that your podcast should be about is your product, and always be about your product and always talking about your product, because then it's a 30-minute advertisement and who the heck wants to listen to that? That's a full infomercial, right? But you can talk about how the products are made. You can talk about the people within the industry. You can talk about trends within the industry, whatever industry it is, right? You could talk about technology making an impact in the industry, how it's evolving businesses. I mean, there's so many different things that you could do as a business owner or business leader on a podcast that supports your business, is sponsored by your business, that promotes your product without you talking about your product.
Yeah, love it. Thank you, Sid. Appreciate that. And look, I think we could probably make arguments from both sides, but I do tend to lean toward what Sid is saying for sure. Nick, what did you want to add to the conversation? Good morning.
Morning. Yeah, I love the example that Sid gave about the real estate plays perfectly into the point that I was going to make. To niche down or not to niche down, 100% would depend on your show and who you're trying to reach. So I think right out of the gate, you have to think about who is my intended audience? Who are the people that I want to reach with my show? Because some people might want to listen to a podcast for entertainment purposes. So if your podcast is entertaining, it might not be super niched down. Like I think of something like Smartless. People aren't tuning in for a specific topic or a specific discussion necessarily. They're there to be entertained by whatever unfolds inside of that discussion. On the flip side of that, into Sid's point, he's coming to podcasts for specific information. And at the beginning, like he's trying to learn about real estate. So maybe a broader topic where he's trying to learn about real estate and kind of get his feet underneath him will work. But I'm willing to bet as Sid starts to learn more about the industry, he's going to have more specific questions. And how is he going to look for those specific questions? He's going to ask specific answers. And he's going to choose podcasts that look like they're going to answer those specific questions. If Sid spent the last 2 months listening to very general real estate podcasts, he probably has a good idea of the stuff that they're going to talk about there. He wants to get a little bit deeper. So he's probably not going to tune into the podcast that's called the Real Estate Podcast, unless it has a specific episode that meets his needs. So I think it's extremely important. I know we talked about it, but it's extremely important to understand your audience and where they're at specifically and how you want to help them. That, to me, is really going to determine if you need to go more niche or more broad. And in Cynthia's case, she broadened her idea, but she's still reaching and helping people that are in her audience. Like now she's opened it up to be able to talk with illustrators and things like that. She probably has people in her audience that are interested in hiring illustrators or submitting their illustrations to a book. Like she's still able to serve the same audience, but now at a bigger scale. So hopefully I didn't ramble too much in that all made sense.
Not at all.
That's kind of my thought.
Not at all. And I could tell by the emojis on stage, it was resonating with a lot of people. Great points. Thank you, Nick. All right, I'm going to keep it moving because we have a full stage. And I believe Billy was next, and then Amanda after Billy. And then we'll check in and see who else wants to chime in. Billy, what did you want to add to the conversation?
So niche or not niche, I love this conversation because when I first started podcasting, I was in the no niche. More topics, more subjects, more people, more whatever. And then I heard this podcast about horses, and this guy did a 90-minute show every day live about horses. You guys probably know him from Podfest or whatever. So Glenn. And I was like, what? Horses? That's crazy. So then I started thinking about the fishing industry, and I built two fishing podcasts. One, actually, funnily enough, was not very niche. It was about fishing, but we covered all kinds of different, fishing from all over the country. The second one I started was just about saltwater fishing on the coast of North Carolina. And that one of the two exploded. That one took off. That one got sponsorship deals super early on. They were both good, but that one was the one that really sparked off the quickest and got me to my point, which is, what is your goal? And our goal is to monetize that podcast within 5 episodes, which we were able to do. And so I think that's one of the things that, as a business strategist first, or an entrepreneur first, content creator second, I'm like, what's going to get me to the money faster? And what's going to get me, whatever monetized? And so I think that, in my opinion, depends on what you want to do. And I think it's also easier to have that conversation. Like, Billy, what kind of podcast do you have? I have a podcast about saltwater fishing on the coast of North Carolina. Billy, what podcast do you have? I don't know. I just talk about everything. Ah, God. Okay. Now I'm going to have to go search through your catalog to figure out what I wanted to listen to versus I know what to expect when I get there. And so, I don't think there's like right or wrong, but I do think there is that interesting conversation of what is the niche audience that listens to the podcast. Because people often will say, when I've had this conversation, well, Joe Rogan doesn't have a niche. Go look at his audience, his demographics. They're very much a niche audience, and he produces content. I don't subconsciously or consciously for that type of audience, because that male guy who makes 50K a year plus keeps coming back and listen to his show. So it's definitely, you know, I think you could look at it from like, am I niche content or am I niche, you know, audience? Like, who am I trying to target? But I definitely think you got to put a goal down. Like, is it who I want to reach, or is it the type of content I want to make? And the people who often come to me and say, man, no one's listening to my show. I go, what's your show about? They go, everything. I go, well, there's your problem. Figure out something that people can expect.
Yeah. Thank you, Billy. That was kind of, you just put it better than I did with my question, my follow-up to Sid. That was kind of where I was going with it, in the sense, yeah, it's determining whether you want a niche audience or a niche topic. Because if it is the niche audience, yeah, technically you can, in most cases or many cases, you can broaden what you're talking about, the different topics. Because now you're looking to appeal to what is this specific audience like? What are their interests? What are their pain points? And how can I address those? And that's a different, and then that creates a different monetization strategy as well. There's a lot we could dig into on this, and I'm sure we will continue having this conversation now and at another time as well. Let's see what Amanda wants to add this morning to this part of the conversation. Go for it, Amanda. Good morning again.
Good morning. Yeah, I just want to, Billy kind of took what I was going to say as well, but I wanted to say too, for me, you know, my audience is niche, but I had to niche up when it came to, well, I wanted to niche up when it came to my guests that I had on the show. Because there was a certain, you know, vibe that I kind of wanted to have. And I was having these same type of guests on, and I was just having the same conversations over and over. And, you know, it was a valuable lesson for me that everybody has a story. Not everybody has to be a mindset coach to talk about mindset, you know. But that being said, because my show is kind of, you know, a little bit of inspiration, a little bit of humor, I talk about entertainment. Not all of the guests that I have on are able to talk about those things. And I learned that the hard way. You know, I had a very quote unquote dynamic speaker, powerhouse speaker. So I just assumed that she would be able to talk on everything. And she was great, nailed it with the mindset segment. And then we went over to a different segment and she just shut down. And I was so surprised because of knowing who that person was, you know, their personality, and they were outgoing. But if it's not in their wheelhouse, they're not going to bring what you want them to bring. So I think that's important to keep in mind too. So now I record those sessions separately and then just plug them into an episode, and I do the other segments by myself. And, you know, I was noticing because my solo episodes were doing better, but I still loved having guests on the show. So, you know, I wanted to, you know, wrapping up, I just wanted to say, you know, you can have all different type of people on to speak about their opinion on a subject matter, but it's also important to keep in mind that, you know, within their expertise, if you try to go outside of that, you may not get the content that you've been asking or that you would desire. So I'll leave it there.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you sharing that pivot, I'll call it, that you made, where it's like, yeah, okay, I recognize my solo episodes are resonating more, or people are listening more to those than to my interviews, but I love my interviews. And so, yeah, just scaling the interviews back and making them a segment into your show, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I'll be curious to hear from you if, because it sounds like it's a little bit more of a newer approach, I'd love to hear how that lands with your audience down the road. So you'll have to keep us posted, Amanda. Hey, real quick, speaking of Amanda, Amanda is one of several people that have signed up to be a speaker at our live event in Charlotte at the end of June, the weekend of June 28th, the Empowered Podcasting, I'll say, conference. for the independent podcaster. It's really geared toward you as the independent podcaster, and we're looking to empower people. We want people to walk away feeling empowered with different insights, materials, information, and powerful connections. So if you think you can contribute to that in some way, sharing maybe a piece of your expertise or a piece of your experience in the podcasting or content creation genre, we want to hear from you. We want you to come speak. It's a 30-minute presentation for each speaker. You could do it as a workshop instead of a more, say, formal presentation. But whatever you want to speak on, we want to hear from you. So please hit the link that I've pinned here in Clubhouse, and I will also include it in the show notes for our podcast listeners. Yeah, please do fill this out. Doesn't cost you anything to fill it out. And it puts you on a stage where, you know, hey, I love the content that I've been able to spit out that comes from my speaking engagements. There's something nice for me, and I think it's a variety for the people who consume my content to see that side of me and hear that side of me when I'm on a stage. And it looks great on social media as well. So yeah, please do. Please check that out. Join us. I think we've got a couple dozen speakers now, and we're looking for more. We're looking to fill up at least 30 slots of speakers. Go ahead, Sid.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that that I know we haven't discussed the event every day, but as part of the planning committee, I can tell you that there is a group of people working really hard to make sure that this is an awesome event, from a venue to the food to the philanthropy to the speakers. I mean, it's really exciting to be part of this group and to see what's happening and the commitment that the people have to, you know, making sure this is a world-class event. So sign up to be a speaker, because we want all kinds of speakers to be there to share your voice. And there's a couple of different tracks that we're working on. Workshops would be a great thing to do if you or somebody else want to come together and do something. I mean, there's so much opportunity here to really share your knowledge with this community. And also, don't forget to sign up to come. I mean, the date is set, the hotel is set. I'm sure Mark will share more later, but I mean, this is a really exciting time for this community, and I'm really glad to be part of it and look forward to meeting so many of you in person for the first time.
Thank you, Sid. Appreciate that. And I wholeheartedly agree. This is an amazing committee. I was just telling my brother about the event and telling him about the committee and how genuinely grateful I am to have this group helping to bring this thing to life based on something I kind of just threw out there several months ago. And an example of many people. You know, I'll call out Simona for a second, because Simona has been leading the charge with the marketing efforts. And man, I mean, the way that the vision that she has and the way that she just dives into it, I know that's a strength that I want to continue building. And it's so impressive to see her doing it. There is a lot of hard work going into this. And yeah, registration is going to open up this week. I know I had said Monday, but sometimes it takes a little longer to get the ducks in a row for the website. I will give everybody a quick sneak peek at the venue. I just shared and pinned the link here. I'm not going to put it in the show notes yet. And I would advise you, don't, unless you really want to, don't get a room yet. Because when we announce everything, you'll also be able to get a discounted rate. A really nice discount, too, by the way.
We're all staying at your Airbnb, I thought.
Well, that would be a little inconvenient. It would be like two and a half hours away. So you'd have to get up at like 6 in the morning to head out to the event.
That's the after party, Alex.
Yes, that's right.
See what happens when you miss a meeting? I had to leave early.
That's okay. All right, so on this topic of too niche or not too niche, we do have a few other people up here, so let me check in with Yvonne. Yvonne, good morning to you. You've been on stage for a little bit. Did you want to add to the conversation?
Good morning. Yeah, I mean, there's been so much said. I raised my hand at one point thinking, you know, and the moment has passed and I have... I've since moved on in my head, but I'm loving this conversation and thinking about the niche that I'm in. I don't know. It's not a recognized niche, but I believe it's there, which is the midlife area. It's not something that I can put as, you know, the niche that's available to choose in Apple Podcasts, let's say, or anything like that. So I am in the education niche. When I started, I was really committed to not having experts on, not having life coaches on to talk about their expertise necessarily. I was really more focused on people telling their personal stories of reinvention. But after 3 years of doing that, I felt the need to expand it out. And I really wanted to start talking about the issues that we do face as we get older. So this year, I have pivoted to start including those expert episodes. And it feels really right, I have to say.
Thank you. And yeah, I think what I'm starting to feel like is that there's a pattern. It sounds like when a lot of us, not everybody, but when a lot of us start our podcasts, we start pretty niche. You know, it's very specific. And I think, yeah, over time, it's helpful for us as hosts to be able to broaden that because it can start to feel old after a while. Yeah, Simona, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, it's such an interesting conversation because when I started Happiness Happens back in 2018, I started with like, okay, so I used to work in corporate. I used to work in marketing and public relations. But so I understood like the importance of a niche and all that kind of stuff. But the thing is, when you're working for a corporation, your niche market is already defined for you, right? Like you're working as part of the company. So you already know exactly who you're targeting for the most part, if it's like an established business. So when I started the podcast, I never even thought about, you know, oh, there has to be a niche market for this. Like, you know what I mean? So I launched into the abyss with no social media at all and no idea of who the podcast was going to help. And it wasn't until I didn't really figure out who the niche actually was, probably until like, I would say like 2 years ago now. And when I got more targeted in, then it started to do so much better. And I started to enjoy the conversation so much better because I knew exactly the types of conversations I wanted to be having with people. Whereas before, I would just bring on like anyone and everyone to talk about their story and their journey. Now I interview people to understand specifically what happiness looks like in their life, but it's so much more than that. It's the science behind happiness, the brain connections behind happiness, how it shows up in our lives every single day. So niching down into just talking about happiness has allowed me to have so many different conversations that are specific to happiness and not feeling like I have to cater to like everyone who is on a self-growth journey, you know?
Mm. Yeah, thank you. And so you basically proved the point I just made wrong, although I didn't say every podcast, but yeah, and which I love it. So you basically started out a little more broad until you could find or discover your niche, your specific area that you want to hone in on. And that's just the point, right? That's what we say, is that we all have different paths. There is no one path. So I'm okay with the fact that I said it one way and then Simona shared another, because yeah, it's just, it's going to be different for everybody. Hey, Brian, good morning. I want to make sure we get to you as well. Did you want to add anything to the conversation this morning?
Yeah. Good morning, Mark. To niche or not to niche? Well, I have niched in the autism area, as many of you know. And actually, just the last minute or so, Simona, your share actually inspired me, because talking about how it took a number of years before you really niched down with the podcast. And being that I consider myself very amateur, it really does help. And to actually, the Friday room where I wasn't able to contribute because I was tight on time that day, my only win last week was that I followed you on Instagram, Simona. I've checked out some of your videos and pretty cool. I've never actually, I don't usually listen to the entirety of any podcast, but it's good to learn from podcasters. And Mark, I'm just blessed by the support of the community. And I'm happy also that I was able to get an intro video put on my YouTube page. Yeah, the intro video is actually what gives people insights into what they can expect from my content. So yeah, I guess I am niching down after all. So thank you so much, and love, light, and blessings to you all.
You're welcome, Brian. Thank you for sharing, and I'm glad you're feeling the support. That is the whole mission of this community, is to help each other feel supported and provide that support. So I'm glad that it's fulfilling my expectations by supporting you and others in this room. So thank you for sharing, Brian. Okay, so I'm sure we will have more to discuss around niching, and we will revisit this. But for now, we will put it to bed, and I will remind you that tomorrow we are back at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, covering all the news around the world of podcasting and content creation, things that affect you as the podcaster or content creator. So join us tomorrow at 7 a.m. Eastern, as we do every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern, right here live on Clubhouse or via podcast at 7 a.m. Pacific on your favorite podcast platform. Thanks for joining us this morning. Until tomorrow, make it a great day, everybody. Take care.